Brothers and sisters, go ahead and take out your copies of God's perfect word. Turn to Acts chapter 8 again this morning. We're going to be looking at verses 25 through 40. It's Acts chapter 8, verses 25 to 40. As you find that, just keep reflecting on that song you just sang. I love to tell the story of the gospel, of course. We talk about it'll be our theme in glory, absolutely. We won't tell it unto evangelism, but we'll be praising God forever for the story, right, of our salvation and His great love for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if that is the song of our heart, then as it should be the song of our heart now as we go and as we venture out into the world. Is that the story? Is that our song? Is that our story? I pray that it is. You know, as we kind of heard the call this morning already about nothing's changed with this virus or whatever changes in the world. As you as a believer, there is a commission. And that commission hasn't changed no matter what the world looks like, no matter what the situations are. It is to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and to make disciples unto Him. Let's see what the Lord has to say to us about that in His word this morning. Beginning in verse 25, the Lord says this. And so when they had solemnly testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem and were preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. But the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road. And he arose and went. And behold, there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, Go up and join this chariot. And when Philip had run up, he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, Do you understand what you are reading? And he said, Well, how could I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture which he was reading was this. He was led as a sheep to slaughter and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who shall relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, Please tell me of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of someone else? And Philip opened his mouth and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. And as they went along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, Look, water! What prevents me from being baptized? And Philip said, If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, but went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself in Azotus, and as he passed through, he kept preaching the gospel to all the cities, until he came to Caesarea. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we have come here to worship you and to praise you, and Lord, also to gather together to hear you speak to us. Father, that your word is perfect, your word is sufficient to supply all that we need in this life. And Lord, as your sheep, we hear your voice. And Lord, we yearn to hear your voice. And so, Lord, hopefully every day, but especially on this first day of the week, we as your people gather to hear you speak, to hear you tell us and give us instructions as to how we should live. Lord, this word is never to stop in the head to where we agree with it. It's always to make it into our hearts, and all the way down into our arms and our legs and our hands and our feet so that we live it out. So that as Christ proclaimed to the crowds in Jerusalem, as we saw this morning, that Lord, he who hears my word and obeys it and keeps it shall never die. Lord, this is what faith looks like. It's to hear your word and believe it and then to walk it out. So, Lord, I pray you give us faith this morning to hear your word and believe it and walk it out so that you could be glorified through it. Father, I know that one of your great purposes of your word when it goes out is to come to your people and to, Lord, build them up and encourage them and equip them to do what you have called them to do. So I pray by the power of your Spirit you would accomplish that this morning. And also, Father, we know that one of the purposes of your word is, of course, the call of salvation to begin with. So I pray, Lord, that those who do not know you here, that you would send out this word as a call to them and they would hear it and they would, for the first time, respond and believe and take up after you, following you. Lord, this is a work that only you can do. We are just merely your instruments. I pray that you would take me out of the way and use me as your instrument this morning to proclaim your word to your ends so that you would be glorified. Again, may the result of all this that we do be that Jesus be lifted up and that we as a people would be united in this truth, that Jesus is worthy of our worship, honor, and praise and of all our life, and that we forever will be proclaiming that. Father, I pray all this in Jesus' name this morning. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, as Christians, as followers of Christ, we are called to many things. We are called to be sacrificial givers. We are called to love and serve others. We are called to holy and righteous living. And we are called to be people of prayer, among many others. All of these very important things. But as important as they are, and again, they are all very important, I think one of the most important things that we as believers are called to do is to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be evangelists, right? To witness of the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We all may not be given the gift of evangelism, right? But we are all called to be evangelists. Well, as we turn to our passage here this morning, what we get to see is what it looks like to be an evangelist. Because what we see is the story of this man named Philip, a man who is even called Philip the Evangelist in Acts chapter 21 and verse 8. If you remember last week, we began the story of Philip when we saw in his preaching ministry. As he was preaching there in Samaria, many were coming to faith. And then we saw, of course, the false conversion of Simon Magus, and we learned a lot about the signs of false conversion of what they believe. But now, as we look here in today's passage, what do we see? Well, we see Philip engaged in what I would call some one-on-one evangelism, right? As Philip begins to meet and speak with this man known as the Ethiopian eunuch. And as we go through this story, brothers and sisters, as we follow it, as we go through this story of Philip sharing with the Ethiopian eunuch, I think we can all learn a lot about how to be better evangelists ourselves. Now, again, I'm not saying that we all ought to learn to be exactly like Philip, right? It does seem that Philip is one of those men who was especially gifted with evangelism. But again, whether we're gifted, if that's our spiritual gift or not, we are all as Christians called to be evangelists. And so who better to learn from than someone who is especially gifted in this area? So what I want to do as we go through this passage is I want to look at some characteristics that we see in Philip and his life that would help make us a better evangelist if we would apply them to our own lives. Now again, ultimately, right, the equipping to make you an evangelist comes from God. That's where Philip got his, and that's where we'll get ours. But we can learn a lot from just looking at Philip and what he did and how he went about it. And if we apply them to our own lives, we'll help make us a better evangelist and the witness that God has called us all to be. So what am I talking about? We're going to look at three specific characteristics here that we see from Philip. And the first one is this. As we look at Philip, what we see is an obedient servant who is sensitive to God's leading. He's an obedient servant who's sensitive to God's leading. Look at verses 25 to 31 again with me. As we begin that passage, where we begin, what we see first is that John and Peter, right, are finishing up in Samaria and they're headed back to Jerusalem. They've been preaching. They've been ministering in Samaria. They went to the aid of Philip because such a revival broke out there, such an ingathering broke out there, people were responding. And now they had finished and they were on their way back to Jerusalem. And of course, they were preaching the whole way they went. But Philip, on the other hand, God had other ideas for him. God had other plans for him. Right? It says that an angel appeared to Philip, probably in a dream or a vision. And he appeared to Philip and he says, "Arise," which is get up from Samaria, right? That means pay, get up, it's time to go. "Arise," and then go out to this road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now, and then it says, right, in this notation, this is a desert road. Now, Luke is highlighting here when he puts this notation in the strangeness of this instruction that he would go to a desert road. See, there were actually two roads from Jerusalem to Gaza. Two different Gazas, actually. There was the original Gaza had been destroyed around the first century B.C. And then they rebuilt it, but they rebuilt it in a different place, closer to the sea. So there were two roads. And the one to the new Gaza was the highly traveled road. Well, the one to the old Gaza, it just ran through the ruins. So it didn't really go to Gaza. But people occasionally used it because it went on south to Egypt. Well, this is the road, that's the point, that God, through the angel, told Philip to go to. Go to that desert road, right, that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. Well, as we turn to verse 27, we see why God would tell him to go to this desert road. Because when he goes, what happens, right? He encounters this man we call here is the Ethiopian eunuch. This man was a great official, as we see, in the Ethiopian royal court. He was the head of all the treasury of Candace, queen of Ethiopia. And Candace is just a title, like Pharaoh or Caesar. It's not her name. So this Candace is the title for the queen of Ethiopia. And this is who this man was. He was, like in our own terms, like the minister of finance or the secretary of the treasury. So the idea is he was a big deal, right? So don't get the idea that this was a lone man in a lone chariot out here by himself, okay? He probably had a lot of people with him and a lot of chariots, and there was an entourage that Philip encountered on this road. Now, what was the Ethiopian eunuch doing on this desert road? Well, as it tells us, doesn't it? He said he had been to Jerusalem to worship God, and now he was on the way back. So apparently, either while he was in Jerusalem, while he had been in Jerusalem or back in Ethiopia or perhaps somewhere else, he had become influenced by Judaism so much to the point that he either became a full-fledged proselyte or a full convert to Judaism, or at least a God-fearer, right? A God-fearer is someone who doesn't fully convert to Judaism, but they still follow Yahweh. They still go to the synagogues, and they still read the scriptures on their own as they see. So, but either way, given the fact that this man would go through the 1,000-mile trek from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to worship God, is he is following or seeking after the God of the Jews. He's seeking after Yahweh, right? So we see that fact. And then we see that fact even more when we see what he's doing when Philip encounters him. What's he doing? But he's actually reading the scriptures then. This tells us that worship to him is not just some ritualistic thing that he goes and does, and then he's done, and then he goes back to his own life, and he picks up where, you know, doing what he wanted to do. No, he's actually returning from worship on this long trip, and what he's doing, he's seeking God in the scriptures. And you can see he's seeking God when you get to the questions. He's wanting to know, what does this really mean? He's not just ritualistically reading the scriptures. So you see that this Ethiopian eunuch is someone who is at that time seeking after God. And it's at this point that Philip encounters him. And what does God do then? Well, then he tells Philip, "I want you to go up and approach him," right? Now this time he speaks not through the angel, but just through the Holy Spirit, right? Whispering in his ear, "I want you to go and encounter, go up to the chariot." Now, apparently he was unintimidated by the greatness of this man and his stature and by the entourage that was around him. And Philip goes and runs up to the chariot. And when he does, what happens? He hears the Ethiopian reading out loud. That was a custom in the ancient world. Many people often read out loud, so that's not unusual. So he hears him reading out loud, and he asks him the question, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he says, "Well, how can I unless somebody tells me, right?" And then the amazing happens. The Ethiopian eunuch says, "Come up here with me and tell me, you know, talk to me. Basically, come up here in the chariot. That's what's going to happen. Come up here and tell me about it. You apparently know. You're here all of a sudden, right?" So amazingly, this man is not startled by the fact that someone comes out of nowhere and asks him what you're doing. He instead amazingly pulls him up in the chariot with him. Now, this is a divine appointment, if I've ever seen a divine appointment. You know what I'm saying? Now, as we think of this story, there's really two perspectives to see it from. The first perspective is the divine perspective. You should absolutely see God sovereignly working in this situation, right? Salvation comes from God, and it begins in His will. And you can see that because God is the one working out and arranging all these steps that are taking place for Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch to meet, right? This is a divine appointment because God has appointed it. And He's arranging every single thing from the point that He tells Philip, get up and go out on this desert road, right, where there's usually nobody at, and he goes. And from the point where he's there at a point when the Ethiopian eunuch's reading the scriptures, and then God speaks to Philip again and says, now go up to him, right at the moment where he's having a hard time understanding what he's reading, right? To the point, if we read a little further, you even see God's hand working this sovereignly out in the fact that they pass a pool or a stream of water at the exact moment, right, that he's coming to faith and he wants to step out in obedience and be baptized. You see, God's sovereign hand working in all of this. Salvation's a work of God, and you should see that perspective here, okay? But there's a second perspective you should see, and that's from the human perspective, and that's that God, when he works out salvation, right, he does it through human instruments who are obedient to his will. Do you see that with Philip? There was one commentator said it this way. He said, the Lord of all creation has ordained that he would do his work through us. Our seeking the Spirit's guidance and obeying what he wants us to do and say is the way he works to bless the world. Amen to that, right? God is sovereign in all of it. We declare that, we proclaim that, but he uses human instruments to do this. And Philip is a perfect example of exactly this very thing, right? First, you see Philip's obedience, don't you? I mean, he was obedient even to the strangest of instructions that the Lord would give him, right? When the angel appeared and said, go to this desert road, Philip doesn't seem to struggle with this. He doesn't seem to wonder why he would have him go out on this road where usually nobody is. And not even to mention the fact that Philip's in the middle of a great awakening going on in Samaria and his preaching, and many people are coming to faith. And I mean, this is a big deal going on where he's at. And God says, now I want you to pick up and take off and leave all of this and go out to this desert road. That had to be some strange instructions to Philip. But Philip was what? He was obedient to it. And then secondly, you see his obedience again when it was, instead of the angel speaking to him, the Holy Spirit spoke and said, go up to this man in his chariot, right? And what did Philip do? He wasn't intimidated by the fact that this was a strange man. Oh, if we could get over approaching strangers, right? And he wasn't intimidated even by the greatness of this man and the entourage that he perhaps encountered. He just obeyed and said, okay, Lord, and he went and encountered him. And both times, because he was obedient this way, God put him smack in the path of a man he was working on to save, right? That's how Philip was at the right place in the right time, because he was obedient. And also a contingent with this is the fact that he was sensitive to hearing God in the first place, right? He was obedient because he's already listening to God, no matter how God spoke to him. When the angel come, that's kind of hard to miss, even though it was probably in a vision or a dream, right? But then there was the Holy Spirit just whispering in his ear, you know, go up. Philip was sensitive to that leading, and because of that, he was sensitive, he was ready to obey, and because of that, again, put him right in the place that he needed to be to have this divine appointment to be able to speak the gospel to this man, right? Was it the way Philip shared the gospel that saved the man? You know, was it his man? No, it was none of that. You know, this was not human ingenuity. There was none of that. God did all this, but he used Philip as his instrument because he was obedient and sensitive to God's word. You put that combination in anybody, and God's going to use you many times, right, in these divine appointments. There are many divine appointments out there the Lord has set up, right, for his people. And who's he going to put in those divine appointments? Those people who are sensitive to hearing the word of God, hearing him speak, to go do whatever, and they're immediately obedient to that. So, again, that's why I want you to see this characteristic, right, of Philip, is that he's obedient. He's an obedient servant, and he's sensitive to God's leading. If we have that characteristic in us, you're going to see yourself being used more and more by God to speak the gospel to people, right? May not be as an amazing of a thing as this Ethiopian eunuch in the middle of the desert road, but you're going to recognize it. You're going to recognize, oh, wow, God put me in that path, right? So, I mean, how are you doing with this? How sensitive are you to God's leading? How much are you even listening to God speak? And then when he does, how open are you to what he tells you to do, right? Whether it's a stranger or not. You know, it seems like to me that it depends on who's, you know, being challenged to witness to as to who you find it hardest to witness to, right? If they're being led to talk to a very familiar family member, man, that's the hardest thing in the world to do. If you're being led to talk to a stranger, man, that's the hardest thing in the world to do, right? I think it's just the fact it's hard to share the gospel, right? But if you're willing to hear and be moved by God and be obedient, he'll put you in those divine appointments. I'll tell you, a few weeks ago, I was here. If when I'm here, you know, I'll go back and forth between here and there quite often during the day, right? And it was on one of those times across, I was going back from here over there, and I noticed in the breezeway back here, a young man, tall man, and I recognize him as being over at Tanya's quite a bit. He kind of helps them out over there. And I, you know, we waved and gave her a cordial greeting, and I intended to walk right on into that other, you know, space to get back to my work, right? The Lord's work. And as I head back in and, I get to the door, there's just that still small voice saying, "Why don't you go talk to him?" I'm like, "Really?" Go talk to him. So at this point, this instance, this example, I did. I obeyed and I went and talked to him. And what do you know? He was so open to talking. You know, of course, what was on his mind, this virus and all that's going on and, you know, all that stuff. But man, it led right into a gospel conversation. Now, we talked about a lot of things, a full-fledged, you know, laid it all out for him. He even had lots of questions. What about this and what about that? It was one of the most freest conversations I've ever had with sharing the gospel. I left him with a track, and, you know, I just walked away from that going, it's just so thankful. Like, Lord, thank you, you know, that you allowed me to be used by you in that instance. It was a very worshipful moment, right? But, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that that's the way it always happens with me, right? Sadly, there are times I know the Lord's nudging and I'm not as obedient that way. But I'm telling you, if we are, if we're obedient, we're open to hearing God speak and we'll just do what he says, he'll put you in the paths of people that need to hear you. Again, they're not going to work out beautiful as, you know, as it did with the Ethiopian eunuch, and you'll be snatched away in the spirit and all these things. But he'll put you in the path of people that he's working on to take the gospel to them if we'll just listen, okay? So with Philip, that's what you see. You see this obedient servant who's sensitive to God's leading. That's the first characteristic you see. Now, the second thing I want you to see is this, is that Philip was a prepared servant who had a knowledge in the Scriptures, right? He was a prepared servant who had a knowledge in the Scriptures. Look at verse 32 to 39. As we look at this, what do we see in this part of the passage? Well, we are brought into the chariot and we get to see, at least in part, what takes place there, right? After Philip's invited up. And what we see is that the specific scriptures that the Ethiopian was reading was from Isaiah chapter 53 and verses 7 and 8 specifically. And, you know, those verses talk about a sheep, right, being led to a shearer and a lamb being led to slaughter without opening a word of his mouth. Is there a more appropriate scripture for a man to be reading when the Lord's about ready to hit him upside the head with the gospel? I think not, because it's this whole Isaiah chapter 53 as a whole is the chapter that speaks of the Christ as the one who takes on the sins of his people, right? And through his being crushed by the Father, his people are made whole. He is the perfect sacrificial lamb who took on the sins of his people, right? And took their place on the cross. This Isaiah 53 is one of the best, if not the best, passages in the entire scripture, right? And remember, all they had was the Old Testament at this time. They had not written the New Testament. And so this is the perfect scripture that is the Ethiopian eunuch is reading when Philip's there, right? And then the eunuch asks Philip, doesn't he? He says, now who's he talking about, right? Is he talking about himself or somebody else? He might as well have said, Philip, tell me about Jesus. Because that's exactly what Philip did, right? As he heard this, it says he began with this passage. He began here, and he began to teach and preach Jesus to him. So he began here. He most likely talked about the whole chapter, and he most likely took him to many other places in Scripture, right, with the sole purpose of to show him how they spoke of Jesus and how they show that Jesus was indeed the Messiah of his people and that salvation is in his name. This is what Philip did when he was given that opportunity. Now, how long were they in this chariot, you know, discussing this? Well, only the Lord knows. We don't know, but it was definitely long enough for Philip to explain the gospel thoroughly because, well, again, at that exact moment, right, they come by a pool or stream of water, some source of water there, and he says, what prevents me from being baptized? Apparently, either he already knew of this because, you know, baptism wasn't a foreign thing at that time in Judaism, or Philip had probably instructed him, this is what you do, just like Peter did, you know, repent and be baptized. He probably instructed him in this, and at that exact moment, he says, what keeps me from being baptized? I want to be baptized. And of course, Philip said, well, if you believe the Lord with all your heart, you may. He says, I do. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so what happens? They get down out of the chariot, and they go down into the water, and Philip baptizes the Ethiopian eunuch, and you get this beautiful ending to this amazing story of how God is divinely orchestrating and working out this man's salvation. And the proof that it's divinely being orchestrated is even seen even more in the fact that after they come up out of the water, what happens? Philip is instantly taken away by the Spirit. Now, you don't see that every day, right? But apparently, that did nothing to dampen the Ethiopian's faith. Matter of fact, it says he went away rejoicing. It probably only proved to increase his faith and prove that Philip was indeed God's divine messenger that had come to speak. Both him and the whole entourage, you know, probably verified that this indeed was a man of God sent to him to preach the gospel to him, right? So you see, Philip, as quick as he was sent to the Ethiopian, he was quickly whisked away. But here's what I want you to see is none of this could have happened the way it did unless Philip was prepared ahead of time, right, to teach Jesus from the Scriptures for him when he's asked the question, who's this talking about, right? What does this mean? Philip is ready because he knows the Scriptures. He knows Isaiah chapter 53 speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he knew exactly where to take him because he was prepared ahead of time and able to answer the man's questions exactly where he was. And brothers and sisters, this is what we, as all believers, should strive to be. We should strive to be believers who are prepared in the Scriptures so that when we are given those opportunities to speak the gospel to people and people have questions, wherever they're at, we're able to open this Bible up, right? Or we are able to speak to them from the Word in our own hearts and minds that we've studied and explain and proclaim Jesus Christ from them. This is what we all ought to strive to be prepared in the Scriptures and having knowledge of them specifically in how they speak of Jesus, right? If you don't have that knowledge ahead of time, you can't answer their questions. You can't take them there. Now, sadly, I think one of the most common reasons people say I don't share more than I do is, well, I'm afraid I won't be able to answer their questions, right? I'm afraid I won't know what to tell them. Well, now listen, I'm not saying in this point that you should know the answer to every question you'll ever get asked, because you won't, right? You're going to have questions that you won't know, but that's okay. That's not the point. The point is you should be at least prepared enough to share Jesus very plainly to them from the Scriptures and be able to share the gospel with them, the whole gospel of your own salvation, by being prepared ahead enough. And if you don't know that the Scriptures well enough, there is a remedy, right? And it's not to share or not to witness. The remedy is get into Scriptures, read them, prepare yourself, study them, get with somebody else who does know them, right? And get them to teach you so that you are more than prepared because you have a knowledge of the Scriptures. That's what Philip did. That's what made one of the things that made him a great evangelist. He was ready, met him right where he was, went right into the gospel. This should be the goal of us. When we're given those opportunities, you should know the word well enough to take them right into the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that part of what made Philip a great evangelist is that he was obedient, sensitive to God's leading. He was knowledgeable, prepared ahead of time in the Scriptures. And then last, very shortly, very quickly, what we see is that Philip was also a faithful servant who proclaimed Christ wherever he went. All right? He was a faithful servant, proclaimed him wherever he went. If you look at the last verse, we see what happened to Philip after this Holy Spirit whisked him away. He found himself in Azotus, a city about 20 miles north of Gaza. It's the new name for the ancient city Ashdod, if you remember one of the five cities of the Philistines in the Scriptures. And so what do we see is that Philip found himself there, and then he left from there and went from village to village all the way to Caesarea. Caesarea seems to be the place where Philip settled down. Seems to be the place where he made home, because you find him there later on in Acts chapter 21 and verse 9 with his four daughters, if you remember that story. So it seems like that's where he finally settles down. But the point I want to leave you with is that what did Philip do from Azotus all the way to Caesarea? What did he do? He proclaimed the gospel everywhere he went, all along the journey. His point was not to get from A to B, right, from Azotus to Caesarea, and just, you know, on his schedule. His point was, as he went, he shared Christ all along the way. Why? Because that was his business. That was what was on his heart and mind. That's what the desire of his heart was, is to share Jesus wherever he went, wherever he was, right? And so, brothers and sisters, this ought to be us as well. If you want to be an evangelist that God has called you to, then you have to be willing to share Jesus wherever you go. That should be the business of our heart and mind, that no matter where we are, what we're doing, that we're of a mind that we want to share Jesus. That means whether you're proclaiming him to a crowd, or you're doing one-on-one evangelism like this eunuch, right? Or you're handing out tracts, whatever it may be, you want your business to be the business of Christ, which is proclaiming the gospel to him. And again, you can easily see why that, you know, that made Philip and all these apostles. We saw that with Peter and John at the very beginning of this passage. It's a common trait. You see it. Wherever they went, they preached the gospel. So you have to ask yourself, you know, is that my mindset? Is it wherever I'm at, do I look to share Christ, right? This is a characteristic that if we learn from this and apply this to life, will make us a much better evangelist than the one that the Lord has called us to be, right? So as you think about all these brothers and sisters, about all these characteristics, right? You saw obedience and being sensitive to God's leading in the moment. And you saw the fact of being prepared ahead of time and having knowledge in the Scriptures that lead to Christ. And now you see being faithful to just proclaiming wherever you go, because that's your business, right? How are you all in these areas? Where are you at with the Lord in all these areas? You know, I'm sure that they're not as strong as they were in Philip in every single way, right? Not me either, right? But all of them ought to be in us at least in part. And we ought to be seeking God that he would make them stronger in us as he begins to sanctify us and make us into the witnesses that he's called us to be, you know? I think that's what kind of heard the theme of the service this morning, that Jesus and proclaiming the gospel is what we're called to do no matter what's going on, right? So as strange as it is, seeing people and knowing how to deal with people now, there's this whole new level of weirdness now with everybody, right? The mission's not changed. It's not changed. It's to share Jesus, right? Why? Because he's worthy. Because Jesus should be exalted above all. And he's the story we love to tell, right? When we get to heaven, we're going to sing it forever. Are we singing it now? Let this be the story that we want to take to everybody as we go. And may he receive the glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we confess to you that we hear your word. If we're reading it plainly and really taking it seriously, we know that's what you've called all of us to do. If we're a Christian, you know, we're called to make disciples, and a big part of that is being a witness of you where, however you call us to be, you know, wherever we go. We're all not going to look alike. We're all not going to be the great evangelist that Philip was, but we're all called to be evangelists in the way and the mold in which you make us. So I pray, Lord, that you would work in each and every one of us where we're at, and Lord, that you would instruct us as to what we need. And you would build us up in the area that we're lacking. Because we're not the answer, Lord. We can take these characteristics and try to make all this happen. Lord, that's useless unless you're doing it in us. So I pray that you would use your word today just to begin to carry out the power that only you can bring to make us a people who proclaim the name of Christ no matter what. Lord, this is what you call your people to be. This is your church. This is your bride. She speaks often of the bridegroom. So, Lord, I pray that's who you make us to be. So may you do this for the glory of your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.